Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is Thursday, guys. We're getting ready for Sunday. Today, we did have a little bit of a scare when the Falcons facility shut down. They went all virtual after they had a positive test. But as reports have said, it looks like things will get back to normal as far as practice and preparation tomorrow as they continue to get ready for the Vikings. We're going to let you hear the Matt Ryan report with Dave Archer coming up here in just a few minutes, as we do each and every Thursday, as Matt talks about the upcoming opponent and more. Mike, real quick, this is about a minute snippet I want our listeners to hear. Speaking of our quarterback, we had a conversation with T.I., artist, entertainer, actor. Again, everyone's entitled to their opinion, guys, and you can't be mad at Mike and I for, you know, allowing
folks they can still be mad at us, Carl. They will be.
Well, that's fine. But for coming on the show and voicing those opinions, and again, when we differ in opinion, we talk about it, and there were some things that I didn't think, you know, were accurate as far as where he said, you know, Matt in the Super Bowl. But let's hear his comment in regards to Matt Ryan.
Now, he did take us to a Super Bowl. The man was an MVP. He did just cut a check for $500,000.
I know you ain't going to talk about this damn Super Bowl now. That's the worst you could have brought up. Excuse my language.
Did we get you excited, bro?
You're not going to talk about this damn Super Bowl, man.
Okay, devil's advocate. It's not a role I like, but go ahead, T.I. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you ain't going to. Hey, listen, bro. That man did just enough good to do twice as much bad.
Now, Tip.
Everything he did to get us to the Super Bowl was undone.
Yes.
By his performance at the Super Bowl.
No, Tip. He didn't lose the Super Bowl for us. Come on now. He didn't lose his. We had bad coaching, bro.
Man. Who else had the ball in their hand when they said hike?
Hey, he got it to Julio. They went backwards three plays. We kicked the field goal. We win it.
They had when it said hike.
T.I., man, he did not lose the Super Bowl for us, man. Come on.
Man, you crazy as hell, man. I got to. Hey, look, let me ask you a question.
What?
If we the one, would he have been the one that won the Super Bowl?
He would have been the MVP. He'd have been the MVP.
Yeah, either him or Grady.
So then you lost it. You got to take that. You got to hold yourself accountable just as much as you would have took the credit.
Interesting stuff from T.I., man.
People got hot on our Solid Brothers Diamond text line. Again, he is a fan, as Carl said. You know, he's a big star in the music business, and he does a lot of work here in town. And he's just, like, that's his opinion. So we did as you did here. We did fight for Matt Ryan. We didn't just lay down like dogs in this conversation.
But accuracy. I mean, the thing is, you know, it's one thing to say whatever you want, and that's cool. But, I'm trying to be as accurate when I come to these conclusions. And then sometimes, you know, you just say things that are out there. And I think that's maybe what bothered some folks. But either way, the entire interview is on radio.com. Go check it out. Very entertaining stuff from T.I. We got to get to the Matt Ryan report.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
Now let's talk live to our Atlanta Falcons quarterback. It's the Matt Ryan report. Here's Dave Archer with Matt Ryan.
Back here on Countdown to Kickoff with your quarterback, Matt Ryan. And Matt joins me each and every weekend to kind of give us an idea of what we're going to be looking at in this football game. And got the Minnesota Vikings coming up. Matt, before I dive into that, obviously very difficult week. A guy that you have a tremendous amount of respect for. Two guys, really, you have a lot of respect for in Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. How do you compartmentalize that stuff and kind of move forward?
Yeah, that's the trick, right? You have to be able to move on and compartmentalize it. You know, we're all obviously hurting for Dan and for Thomas, you know, two guys that have meant a ton to my career personally and have been great for our organization. The last 2 years, we just haven't been as productive as we've needed to be. And unfortunately, in this business, that's the harsh reality of it. You've got to produce and you know, so you feel for those guys and are thankful for their time spent here, but also have to realize we've got, you know, a long way to go this season. And as players, you know, we've got to lock in and do the job that we're asked to do. And that's playing really good football against the Minnesota Vikings this week. And I think, you know, I think the guys have done a good job with that.
Matt, last thing on that, is that something that you take personal? I mean, I guess it's kind of like a family member, but is it something that kind of seeps in and you take personal where it, the motivation factor ramps up any? Is that something you're hoping to get out of this?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it's always personal. You spend so much time, you know, with the guys in our building during the season. I mean, we see these guys way more than we see our families, and it's not even close. And so, yeah, you feel it. You feel tough. You know, it eats at you. It eats at you because, you know, you always think about, all right, what could I have done differently? What could I have done better? And I think everybody feels that responsibility when they have their head coaches back. But like I said before, we got a long way to go, you know, this season. And you immediately have to shift as a player to, okay, Raheem is our new guy giving us the orders and the direction we need to go. And we've got to buy in and we've got to find a way to get it done for him because, you know, he's another guy who's been here for a long time, coached on both sides of the ball, and been a guy that guys love on both sides of the ball. So we'll miss Dan for sure. You know, we're hurting for him, but we got a job to do, and Raheem's going to lead us and give us the direction as we move forward.
Okay, appreciate you sharing that. When we look at the Minnesota Vikings, this is a team that's given you some fits over the years. I think you're 2-4 against them, and the last four have been tough outings, including opening the season last year. What is it about Minnesota and Mike Zimmer's defense that can cause anybody problems?
Yeah, their numbers are different this year, but historically, you know, they've been tough on the defensive side of the ball. They're very disciplined. They play hard. They're physical, and you know, they are relentless. They keep coming at you. And I think, you know, they've given up a bunch of points, but they're still, you know, number one in third down efficiency on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're top five in red zone efficiency on the defensive side of the ball. So they're still doing some really good things and still playing with that effort and intensity that you expect from a Mike Zimmer defense.
Does that surprise you? Because that number one ranking as far as leading the league on third down is something they've kind of been hovering around for a while. You guys are normally right at the top of the league on third down on offense, but they got a young corners. Is that surprise you that the numbers are where they are?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what pass rush and what pressure can do though. You know, it can solve a lot of problems for you. Right. So they still have a great package. They make it very difficult on your pass protections with the different looks that they give you. And they make you be on top of your rules.
The emergence of the run game last weekend, that's got to be, from a confidence builder, certainly from the offensive line standpoint, something that you can really kind of begin to build on with Todd, I think, what, third in the league in rushing yards and coming off his first 100-yard game of his Falcon career.
I do think it's something we could build on. I think, you know, we were very, you know, explosive in the run game. We had a bunch of big runs, but efficient as well. I mean, just continued to hammer away, getting those 4 or 5 yard runs that you need. I thought the third down runs were huge for us. You know, that's the last couple of weeks. That's 2 touchdowns on third downs where we're running the football. I think that's going to help us as we move forward. You know, we got to pick it up in the pass game and make sure that we're pulling our weight there as well.
Do you think that the young kid, and you got a bunch of young guys around you at the wide receiver core, when you talk about Gage, Zacchaeus, Christian Blake, and even Ridley only in his third year, is it one of those things they have to kind of adapt to not having Julio on the field? Hopefully who can go. But if he can't go, not having that veteran presence and that beast on the field, is that something they're still trying to adapt to?
I think so. You know, I think you see a lot of different things when Julio's out there. Defenses do a lot of things that are out of character from what you see on film when they're playing against Julio. And that gives other guys a lot more one-on-one chances and a lot more free access and soft looks on the other side. And I think, you know, our guys are learning that when he's out, you're going to get some different looks, and we've got to be sharp and we've got to be on point and in the places where we need to be. And they're continuing to get better at that. And I love just how hard all of them play. You know, there's no back down from any one of them. They go out there, they cut it loose, they let it rip. And they're all continuing to get better. And I think we're going to be a better football team at the end of this year. And we're going to be operating the way that we are because of the depth of that position.
Realizing, the last thing for you, and I appreciate your time, realizing that you got to stay fine focused on the Vikings and what the task at hand is every day as you get ready to prepare for this football game. Can you allow, and can the young guys allow themselves to say, hey, we can make history here. No one's ever done what we're about to do as far as going on a run here and put ourselves in position to go to the playoffs. Is that something you can allow to kind of be out there as a carrot dangling out there that that people can latch onto from a player standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, take anything. It'd be like Major League, that great old movie, right? You know, find something to get it going and keep chipping away and do something that hasn't been done before. But, you know, with that said, it starts with one. And so, you know, your mindset has to be taking care of business this week. We don't have anything else to focus on other than getting the job done and getting a win.
Well, let's just make sure we don't have a bunch of stickers up on a Mike Zimmer poster and you're stripping that off. That'd be great.
No doubt.
Appreciate you, Matt. Always appreciate you taking the time. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
That's Dave Archer getting caught up, I should say, with our quarterback, Matt Ryan. And again, Carl, it's usually the calling card of the Vikings, really good defense. But obviously we saw what Russell Wilson did last week. Of course, Russell Wilson's at another level. But that unbelievable drive, they got a banged up running back with Dalvin Cook. And they're fighting to keep their like slim playoff hopes alive, too.
Yeah, you know, this thing has been crazy. I mean, the season, arguably for me, the best team is Seattle. And then you could say the Packers.
I think the Packers' defense is better than Seattle's. I still think when Jamal Adams is out there, then I put Seattle back up. But they just play clutch. I mean, they're as clutch as anybody out there. And you got Russell Wilson, it covers up a lot of your deficiencies on defense.
The problem with the Seattle squad is they just don't have a consistent pass rush. And so that's one of the things that they're in need of. But yeah, man, I just think right now, as crazy as things have been, even with Minnesota, and we've seen this again, the what if game, right? If you played the what if game, we should have had two, maybe even three wins, but that's not
right.
The case.
We should be 2-3. I mean, in some cases 3-2 had we done better against Seattle. But yeah, man, it's where we're at. A lot of fans are saying, to be quite honest, Carl, and I hate this, but it's the reality check. Sometimes people say it's empty calories. What are wins going to get you when you want to really do some big things in the offseason?
We got more to get to, including our strong arm story of the day. It's a big game tonight. People wondering, are our bats going to heat up? We'll talk about it next.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
So what happens tonight? What kind of pitching performance do we get? Do we have to go to the bullpen early? If we do, they're rested because of the performance by Enoa last night. Four scoreless innings, one hit ball, and 92 pitches. But Mike, let's be honest. Right now, everybody around the country saw last night, and they think we have no shot with Kershaw going.
Yeah, man, to be a game up against the Dodgers, to be at 1.2 games up, and to feel, I'll admit it, I put my hand up, I felt it's a flimsy feeling because we just don't have the horses in the pitching rotation. That's the reality here, you know, and we heard from Brian Snicker that Max Fried will not be used on short rest, according to Dave O'Brien. This is where you need the travel days. This is where you need 2-3-2, or however they do it. You needed some in between, and unfortunately, guys, when you got one guy who's the man in Max Fried, another guy who we think is going to be the man, but remember, Ian Anderson, I don't fault Kyle, right? These guys were like literally, what were they doing, Carl, playing soft toss at right. Cool Ray Field at camp, you know, whatever it was. And now you're thrust into an NLCS. You needed more depth in pitching, regardless of Soroka or Faulty. And, you know, the Cole Hamels wasn't the thing. So we're in a tough spot. I mean, unless the bats are going to go bananas, you mentioned, though, and Noah did a fantastic job of eating innings, so you didn't tax the bullpen any further. But, Carl, talk about the pressure on the shoulders of young Bryce Wilson tonight.
Well, it doesn't get any bigger. And remember last night we were talking about, you know, what might happen with Kyle Wright. And I said, I just hope he doesn't press. Right. And what happened yesterday, okay, in terms of baseball is when he had those two outs and at the point where, you know, you got men on and then Will Smith comes up and gets a double, in his head, he's pressing. Now, you can't force outs. You have to pitch. And so he's pressing about trying to force this third out that he can't seemingly find. And then you walk Cody Bellinger. And then Mike, two home runs separately, Peterson and then I think it was Rios. And all of a sudden now, this thing, you're done. Mentally, he was done because he was pressing. And so I'm hoping, I only say all of that to say tonight, I'm hoping that that doesn't happen with Bryce. Because, Mike, if he does that tonight, we're in big trouble. And not only just in this game, but moving forward because of what Snit said today, which is he will not pitch Max Fried on short rest. I think that's a mistake. I will say it now. And I hope we win this series. But if we win the night, we find a way to win, I got to pitch my best guy to finish this thing off as soon as possible.
Period. So now you hope the bats respond. You hope that Bryce Wilson responds. You hope that Clayton Kershaw goes into Clayton Kershaw. We talked about it last hour with Squidbilly and Yeah Man, No Man. He's 11-11 in his career in the postseason. It's very Greg Maddux-like. I know the Greg Maddux fans hit me up. They go, what's your problem with Greg Maddux? Nothing. He needed to be better in the postseason. You're always measured by when the bright lights. You know, I mean, the nerds can sit there and talk about regular season wins over the Expos and Mets, but when it matters most, that's when you got to step up. And Kershaw, Carl, has had some big flameouts and given up some big home runs in the last 3 years.
No doubt about it. Are we getting a Kershaw? And by the way, if you're wondering, this season, for what it's worth, again, he didn't get 35 starts, but 6-2, 2.16 ERA, you know, and away from home, or should I say, you know, away, he was 5-1. But I don't know if these numbers translate. I just, for me, Mike, I look at this and go, I know Clayton Kershaw has seen and been in some big moments. He knows the vibe and the atmosphere.
Right.
Our guy doesn't. And say what you want. This is why you go get veteran pitchers, okay? It's why the Astros went and got Verlander. You need guys who have been in this moment. And I think Smoltz and Maddux and Glavine, they would all testify to this. You know, there's something to be said the first time they were in the playoffs. And then, you know, those last, you know, middle to last runs where they were getting in every year, there was a comfort level because they had been there. Kershaw has that. Our guy tonight doesn't. It doesn't mean, though, that he won't pitch well.
Right, and the stats are amazing. I just mentioned Greg Maddux. Dave O'Brien had a stat. It's his 10th career start of the NLCS for Clayton Kershaw on tonight. He is a 2-0 with a 0.43 ERA in 3 postseason starts versus Atlanta. And, of course, again, we were not a team we are now, Carl, 2 years ago when Acuna hit the Grand Slam, not off of Kershaw. He's 3-5 with an ERA of 4.61 in 13 NLCS games, and he's been out of the bullpen, too, which has been a rough spot for him when they do that. How bad is the back, the spasms? I read the article in the LA Times today. They don't think he's going to pitch more than 6 innings if he can go. It's all about the pitch count with Kershaw tonight. So let's work the count, or, I mean, we come out first pitch swinging because that's our thing.
No doubt. And by the way, if you're playing, you know, in front of Kershaw, he's a different pitcher as well. I mean, that's anybody for the most part. But if we are able to jump out to a 3 or 4 run lead, Mike, they may be prone to not leave him out there thinking because he's only going to get one start, guys. I mean, they're not going to turn around and start him, you know, the next day. There's no rest in this series. So tonight, if you can get past Kershaw, don't you like your odds?
Yes. But that's the thing, man. You got to really hope that Bryce. I mean, look, I liked how Bryce Wilson reacted in his last couple efforts. And I, you know, I don't want to make it, you know, turn it in and say this guy's going to be rock solid tonight. You're asking for a guy like goosebumps, the you know, all the cliches, you know, the ice water in his veins. The guy Ian Anderson stepped up, and you know, he's unflappable, even with guys on base, even with walking 5 guys, he can still get out of there. And look, it's not a knock on Kyle Wright. I think Kyle Wright's got a bright future, if not with the Braves, you know, down the road, if they wanted to move him in the offseason as part of a big trade to get somebody in here. I don't know. But this was always going to be the limitations. That's why guys are getting on me last week. I'm like, yeah, best of 3, we got it. Best of 5, we got it. 7-game series, you know, and you don't have nights off. This is where your starting pitching gets taxed and your bullpen can get taxed. That's why the good news is, as ugly as it was, you know, stepped up and, you know, ate up some innings. Bro, it's just frustrating because, and I don't know, do you still, and I'll go back to the other night, do you think that the Tomlin thing has anything to do with anything else? The Dodgers are going to hit bad pitching. That's your point, right? No matter who's out there.
Yeah, I you know, I just don't want to extrapolate what people are trying to make out to be, in my opinion, 2 separate incidents.
Right.
What happened at the end of game 2 and what happened at the beginning of game 3 last night are 2 separate anomalies. And I know some people want to, and you know, again, this is not, you're not, the Dodgers didn't go to bed emotional the night before and wake up with like this energized energy that was going to bring them to the ballpark to hit the way they did last night. You know why the Dodgers hit that way? Because that pitching was terrible. These guys are professionals. This is one of the best hitting clubs maybe ever. So for me, the anomaly was Josh Tomlin didn't get the job done, but we won the game. And then the next day, a completely different guy was on the hill and he was bad and they made him pay for it. That is how I see it. But sports fans want to equate emotion into this momentum. And in baseball, that's just not the case. Because if you get too jacked up, you're going to screw up. You're going to throw a wild pitch. You're going to have the yips, Mike, and not be able to throw the ball to first base if you're too jacked up. So it just doesn't work that way.
And there is no curse. This crap that comes out again. Oh, here we go. No, the curse is the management didn't let Alex Anthopoulos go get a real starting pitcher to compliment the young guys. Because even, look, Cole Hamels was a waste of everybody's time and $6 million of the Braves' money. I wish King Felix had stuck around. He might be. Imagine that. King Felix could have been pitching tonight. Imagine that, Carl, against the Dodgers. We got young studs. The good news is the future is bright. The bad news is we didn't invest in the solid starting pitching we needed this year. Regardless of COVID, regardless of a 60-game season, this is why we find ourselves in this pickle. So young guys are going to be asked to do a Herculean task, and let's hope that Bryce can do it. Roster basically is the same, Carl, with Riley, Camargo, and Pache batting 7, 8, 9 tonight.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm still upbeat. I'm still positive. There is no way that last night's game deflated me in a way that, you know, I feel like we can't win this series. We are still up 2-1. If they win tonight, I will still feel good, even with the series tied, because this is why games 1 and 2 were so important. But I also think that guys have to step up. And what I mean by that is, Ozuna, I need you to be that guy. You need to get going. Acuna needs to get going, Mike. Freddie has had a really good series. Ozzy has. We need some of these other pieces in our lineup to start playing up to their capability if we're going to win this thing. And, you know, ultimately the pitching is the pitching, but we got to score some runs against Kershaw tonight, because if we don't, then we are going to be in trouble.
And by the way, a great stat from Sam Ballou. He hit us up earlier to Carl and I. Follow us and put him up, C-Dukes and Mike Bell, ATL. He says, guys, yeah, you got to remember, game 6, the game before Sid slid. If you go back to the Pirates and the Bravos back in the day in 92, the Pittsburgh Pirates put 8 up against Tom Glavine in the second. They beat us 13-4. As you said, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
So, yeah, we got smoked by the Pirates, came back, and one of the iconic moments in Braves history followed the next day. So let's hope. But again, Avery, Maddox, Glavine, that great bullpen, we just are going to have to lean on some really young guys and super big moments.
All right, guys, follow us, Mike Bell, ATL. I may put them up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. We're going to come back. We got some guy talk on the way. Hey, what's happening, Mike Bell?
Hey, man, I got some consumer news that our guys can use. We're going to have some food and some brew together. Hey, Man Ale at a really cool spot. I'll fill you in about it when we come back.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Man, on a Thursday here in Paradise. Hope everybody's having a good day. Before we get into the guy talk, I know you heard Mike Conte in the update. Carl, a guy that you and I work with for many years up there at Flowery Branch, and a lot of folks in the media business pouring out their feelings about Vaughn McClure, who passes away at only 48 years of age.
Yeah, my heart is hurting today, man. There are people we talk to behind the scenes that we don't talk about on the radio. Vaughn was one of those guys. He was a friend. We had hung out numerous times. I told my wife, Michelle, life's crazy, man. We just had a conversation about Vaughn randomly, probably 2 days ago. And I had talked to him after Dan Quinn got fired, text and then on a phone call, talking about things with the Falcons. And we hadn't seen each other physically, obviously, in months because of COVID-19. But, yeah, Mike, I'm just, you know, 48 years old, and people don't know Vaughn's history, man. I mean, he grinded. He grinded. I mean, he was in Cali. He you know, was from Illinois originally in Chicago. His dad passed last year. And just to give you some background, I mean, him and his father were really close. If you went to his Twitter page, and I'm sure it's still up, there's a pin of his dad, because him and his dad, that was his heart. And I thought, you know, we had had conversations every time I'd see him. I was like, man, how you doing? And I wasn't talking about the job. I was talking about Vaughn as a person, because it really took him a long time to come out of this rut with his father passing away. And, you know, every time I spoke to him, he was doing better and better. And so to hear this news today, it's heartbreaking. Because, again, Bo and I were talking about this. Death is final, man. You know, and he was a guy that hustled and sometimes was even misunderstood because he wanted to be great at his job. But at the end of the day, Vaughn had a really good heart. And if you didn't know him that way, you know, he was somebody that would let you know how much he appreciated you and just taking time out. He'd always talk, you know, about various things in you know, what was going on with the show. And but we had a personal relationship as well that went beyond just this business. So, yeah, I wish his family the best, man. It's shocking today.
So, again, thoughts and prayers for Vaughn and the family because, as you said, man, you know, when people start dying that are younger than you, as you said, it makes you think, like, whoa. So, as we always say, and I mean, not to sound trite, but, you know, always make sure you're checking yourself, guys, health-wise. And I'm not sure what Vaughn's situation was, Carl, but 48, and I don't know if it was a heart attack or if that's what the case was, but, man, that's just way too young. And, again, you know, as you said, the guy he asked tough questions, man. I mean, we always joke around about the media here in town, kind of a little bit on the soft side. That was not Vaughn.
No, I mean, he wanted to make sure that he was covering all angles. I can't tell you how many times we'd have conversations and he'd say, you think that was the right question? And I was like, of course it was, you know, because there were times that Mike and I couldn't necessarily be at these press conferences. And you know, you want to ask tough questions, but there is a line where, you know, are you pressing the issue? And sometimes people felt like that was the case with Vaughn. But I agree with you, Mike. I mean, that's what great reporters do. All you need to do, okay, and you'll see this over the next few days, is look at his colleagues around the country and what they're saying about him. Right. Whether it's Adrian Wojnarowski, Jeff Passan, who he replaced in California when he went out there to the Sacramento Bee. Just read what his colleagues are saying, and you'll know that he was really good at his job and a hard worker and respected. And I think for most people, that's all you want, man, from your peers. At the end of the day, you just want to know that people in your line of work, whatever it is, respect what you do and can say, you know what, I respect that man, and that's how I feel about Vaughn McClure. I think a lot of people around the country are saying the same thing.
And speaking of Vaughn and the Falcons, by now, guys, you know that Falcons shut down today. But just for guys who missed it in the Falcon report, word is it was not a player, Carl, that apparently tested positive. Again, everybody's getting tested who's in the organization. You know, you've seen the stuff on Hard Knocks, how that works. So I'm not sure, can't confirm, but it does sound like it looks like on the lighter side of it, of as far as how they would deal with protocols so these guys can get back to work. Maybe as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, man, and, you know, from that standpoint, Mike, when I saw this today, didn't you think, uh-oh, this game might be suspended, like, suspended or at least postponed?
Tuesday night football with the Falcons, right? I know. And, again, obviously the first concern is, you know, about keeping everybody healthy out there. Speaking of COVID, the Browns have got an issue potentially. Odell Beckham Jr. was sent home with an illness. Kevin Stefanski telling reporters he has not tested positive for COVID, and the team will get his latest result coming up tomorrow morning. But, again, it's something you got to deal with. It's also the cold and flu season in places where you get the cold and flu, where it's colder, like Cleveland. So Odell Beckham, that would be a huge loss for a team which is really hitting its stride right now.
Yeah, man. And you know, we didn't know what the Browns were going to be culture-wise. Remember we kept talking about that and whether they would turn the page? It looks like they are. So this is one of those things you don't need right now, especially with some momentum going. That was a big win last week at Indy, man. I think that they have turned the page. I just need to see them sustain it now, Mike, through the season.
So the football is an exhibition game, something you and I have talked about, the Pro Bowl, over the years. It's kind of lost its juice. They've moved it down to Orlando. They've taken it away from Hawaii. And I don't know. I could be honest with you. I could care less one way or the other. I could live without it. Reason I bring it up is 2021 Pro Bowl, we didn't tell you earlier in the week, has been canceled. Carl, the NFL says it'll be replaced with a variety of engaging activities. I don't know. They're gonna have a three-legged race with two running backs. They're gonna have a hot potato game. I'm not sure. Again, they didn't really give any reason specifically about why they're gonna do this, but the league says it'll work closely with the Players Association and partners to create a variety of engaging activities to replace the Pro Bowl. I don't know if that means a skills competition or what. I mean, again, Pro Bowl to me, you can't play football three-quarter speed. You know what I mean?
Nope. And For all the conversation about moving it to Florida, Florida's nice. Florida's not Hawaii. And so for the reward of the players taking their families out there and being out in Hawaii, for the guys that haven't, you know, had a chance to experience that. I think that's cooler than going to Florida, but the NFL's been trying to find a solution. Remember, we even talked about this a few years ago. Well, maybe they're just moving to Vegas, and Vegas might be the answer. This year, I understand why. My question is, do you bring it back? No, I know it's in Vegas, but I'm saying, do you bring it back after this season?
I mean, again, half the time, guys are either, you know, the really elite players are usually playing deep in the playoffs, right? So they don't want to go. I mean, you definitely want a clause in your contract. There's two ways you get the bonuses. We've talked about this. There's the Pro Bowl bonus or the Football Writers All-Pro Team bonus, which in some cases, the writers actually have it better than the actual athletes who kind of sometimes go on reputation or their boys. But, yeah, I just think it's a waste of time, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, the NBA All-Star Game, we're about to throw that one away, and then we have one of the best ones of all time. You know, they come up with a new format. You got to tweak the format.
Yeah, you do. You got to continue to play with it. And you know,
but, I mean,
again,
but football, what do? Either you can play flag football? Nah, I don't want to watch that. I mean,
no,
you know,
but
just...
you know what? Why don't you and maybe take a page from the NBA? The two quarterbacks, like sandlot ball, like pickup ball, get to pick the teams.
Right.
You know?
Well, last night, I don't know how many of you guys stuck around. But,
from any league, by the way. It doesn't matter what. Right. You can go with anybody. Right. You don't like that idea?
Eh, I don't know. I mean, the hockey's done it now with this. I just think it's, you know, mush. Hey, man, if you stayed up for the bitter end last night with the Braves and the Dodgers, you get to hear Joe Buck. And by the way, I did take some solace, Carl, in realizing and learning last night that Joe Buck is definitely aware of the criticism he's getting from the southeast part of the country
pro-Dodger. Well, you can't help. I mean, I love guys. I always tell you, right? They're listening. You can't help but hear the noise. Simply because it's national. It's not just a few people. And so people are on him. And, yeah, even if he's not, like, following you on Twitter or social media on Facebook, which I doubt he's following anybody. But the point is, Mike, it's getting back to him.
He's definitely got rabbit ears. We've heard this through the grapevine that Joe's aware of this stuff. So he basically said last night after he joked around, well, for some out there who feel it'll be a little too hard, I'll let Smoltz, you want to take a stab at this? And they had the graphic that talked about the wrong side of history. First team to allow multiple 10-run innings, only team to allow 10 runs in the first inning. Kyle Wright, fifth pitcher with a start of less than one inning. So, I mean, he was aware of it, and he tried to hand it off to Smoltz, and Smoltz wasn't really going to play ball with it. So it was kind of funny. So, yeah, I mean, Smoltz is sitting a few feet away. He was just hamming it up further, as they said in a fan-sided website, you know, saying that, noting the worst graphic ever created since 28-3.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Ken's juggling a lot of stuff back there, but we'll try to get the audio, or maybe not, depending on how the game tonight goes. But, yeah, Joe Buck throwing some salt in the wounds of Atlanta fans. What a turd. Hey, man, let's get to the closing bell. Speaking of turds. You're not winning, but you're not losing, Carl. Wall Street was down a hair, just about 19 points in the Dow Jones. S&P 500 was down 5 points, and NASDAQ was down 54 points. It's all brought to you by Atlantic Capital Bank. Go to AtlanticCapitalBank.com. They say we fuel prosperity, and they mean it. For small business guys, these are the dudes to see. Speaking of business, before I get to the birthdays, I had a business meeting today, Carl Duke. You'd be proud of me.
You had, tell me about it.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it was, it's a new endorsement I'm going to be doing for a place called Hoots. And I'm friends with a buddy of mine, Bruce Scallo. I've known for years in town, and he was with Heineken, then he's with Hooters. Well, Hoots is like their to-go now. They got a wing store called Hoots, and they're going to get Hey Man Ale in there. So basically fried pickles, wings, buffalo shrimp, all that stuff, and we're going to put Hey Man in the three different locations. How cool is that?
Oh, bro, hold on. I got to get my bell. That is awesome.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, sometimes people look at me at Fredo in these meetings. I'm not dumb. I'm smart. We can do things. Let's put the beer in there. So anyway, we're working out the details. I mean, I made this deal without, obviously, the okay from corporate, and now they got to make it's okay. But Peachtree Corners, Decatur, Madison Yard over by the Beltline, Hoots Wings. It's basically going to be your spot now. With smoke. They got smoked and roasted wings, tater tots. Anyway, they're going to have Hey Man Ale in there, and it should be, if all goes well, Carl, maybe by as quickly as this weekend.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you guys for jumping on, and I love the fact that they're going to carry our beer, and you can get some wings and Hey Man Ale. That's
right
awesome.
On. You got a birthday today, just a couple on the 15th of October. Jim Palmer turned 75. Jim Palmer did an ad for Jockey Underwear. My mom, I think she tried to steal the cardboard cutout from Macy's in New York. It's very embarrassing. Old school, had a hairy chest. My mom liked that. Emeril Lagasse turned 61. I guess his restaurants are great everywhere but Atlanta. I mean, his restaurant in Atlanta was as big as a football field. It sucked. Anthony Joshua. The food was always under a heat lamp, Carl. Anthony Joshua is 31. And by the time he fights either Wilder or Fury, he'll be 41.
Yeah, I don't think that fight's going to happen anytime soon, man.
Ducking the champ like a typical British fighter. Genuine is 50. Ride that pony. Mario Puzo, Lee Iacocca, who you saw the character in the Ford versus Ferrari, and Penny Marshall, all born today. And there's your guy talk.
All right, I got to give one more birthday from my man 6'8". That's his nickname. Producers in this town know 6'8". His real name's Corey. Polo the Don's birthday today. If you don't know who he is, he's one of the top producers in the world. Lives here in Atlanta. And 6'8 wanted to send a big happy birthday to you today. I saw 6'8 today. So Polo the Don, happy birthday to you. Guys, go look up his songs. You'll be shocked to see how many songs he's on or at least have been a part of. We're coming back. Top 3 at 6 next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.